Sid, good morning.
Sid Fernando, standing by. Firewatch, better be focused.
Good morning, Steve.
Sid, good morning.
How are you? You got the radio in the background?
Yeah, I just turned it off.
There we go.
Sid, the radio in the background? Yeah, just turned it off. There we go.
There we go.
All right. Sid, a lot to digest here. And, of course, with the sale as a coda, both last night at Fasig and next couple of days at Keeneland. But where do you start?
Yeah, it was something, wasn't it?
You know, one thing that always amazes me, I put together a page that has got the winners with the breeders and the owners and the sires and broodmare sires, etc. And there always seems to be cups that offer up some oddities and some obscurities. And this one qualifies. I mean, when you think about Belvoir Bay and Blue Prize, even Uni, even though, she's by More Than Ready, you got Matoli, you got the Escondorea story, the export scenario that always seems to come. And then you look at your two juvenile stallions. I've been meaning to post this for, since Friday, where Flashback and Court Vision, who have to be visited in Pennsylvania and Louisiana for 3,500. It's incredible. I mean, for every big name and big pedigree, there's always stories like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real democratic process, isn't it? I mean, you don't have to have, you can go to an expensive horse like Curlin and win the Classic, and you can go to, a Kentucky stallion that's out in the provinces now, like either Court Vision or Flashback, and, get a Breeders' Cup winner, too, because you said $3,500 stud fee. So, yeah, it's really something. Escondaria, of course, the sire of Matoli's in Japan. It's really something. And at the top, you've got American Pharoah, the Triple Crown winner with his first crop, and he gets a Breeders' Cup winner. So it really spanned the classes, so to speak, as well as, and consequently, the stud fees.
Well, the biggest names when it came to Vino Rosso and Curlin, of course, Bricks and Mortar, Giants Causeway, Matoli, Escondorea, More Than Ready, Uni, the international side of things with Ruler of the World and Iridesa. We just had Nacho Correas, Pure Prize, and who, Pure Prize, 101 stake winners in his career, Sid, and that includes obviously the shuttle work and the South American work, and I also see him as a productive broodmare sire as well. I mean, he seems very underrated in the scheme of things, the career that he's fashioned.
Yeah, and most of those stakes winners really are horses abroad. He left and never came back after he'd been shuttling. And, he's a Phipps horse. He's done extremely well there. And you're right. He's had major winners, really good horses. I mean, in South America, some of his horses, they've major races like the Pellegrini, the Anchorena, those are all huge races, group one races. And this mare is typical of the quality that he got. She's obviously bred in Argentina. But this happens to stallions. He was standing inexpensively here, Steve, and when he went there, he became a different type of stallion. this phenomenon occurs when they get a different type of mayor, and he really took to a lot of those bloodlines in Argentina. It happened too with, for example, Spend a Buck. You know, it was kicking around here after starting off at Lane's End, really wasn't much. But once he got to Brazil, he started getting grade winner after grade one winner after grade one winner. He, in his case, he went to Brazil and he clicked with a certain type of broodmare, and it's very specific. But you know, those horses, they could come here and win. Einstein, for example,
right?
You know, is a grade one. You know, so they were quality horses, and it just you just needed a different environment for these stallions, and that's the way it worked out for Pure Prize.
And I don't want to get fully distracted by the sale result, but $5 million, Larry Best completely captivated by her. And I understand what he means when he says, you know, how beautiful she looked, because when she got to town, both she and Vino Rosso, I said this with to Todd on Monday, the two winners of the two premier races for males and females on dirt in America, they looked, and obviously that's, you know, as people can say, well, of course they look great. Not exactly. They looked at the end of their careers, respectively, the best they ever had. Vino Rosso was scary looking on the racetrack leading up to the race, and Blue Prize surprised me. I remember last year, Sid, just that she that it looked like, you know, she looked like a mare that was at the end of a long season. If you know what I mean, she didn't look like that Saturday. They were leading up to Saturday. She looked like in full bloom, but Vino Rosso looked like it looked like Joe Louis. All week long. I mean, with just neck bowed and shoulders, you know, shoulders shifting, and I mean, on the track, coming off the track, he just looked so focused and puffed up, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw the pictures of Blue Prize the day afterwards when she was flown to Kentucky, and you know, I saw some pictures on Twitter. And it was pretty amazing that a horse who'd had a race like that, and then, you know, a big ship usually sucks up these horses a lot, but she was carrying a ton of flesh. And the pictures on the sales ground, you can just imagine how she, exactly what you're saying. I mean, the fact that she kept her weight, kept her condition, even after a race and a flight, really points not only to her constitution, but the caretakers as well. You know, Ignacio Correa, who's a top horseman, and, you know, what a great, as is Pletcher, obviously. And so it was great to see.
What, out of curiosity, and I'm kind of just flinging this at you, Who would Larry Best, who is, you know, who is he going to have recommended to him in terms of a cover for her? I mean, by, you know, obviously Stormcat Line Stallion out of a not for sale mare, second dam, Cure the Blues, third dam, Key to the Mint. Kind of an interesting, that's actually a very interesting female family, Blues for Sale, but it feels like, you know, maybe one of the reasons Pure Prize has had this success is because you know, there's a lot of good mesh to consider.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he I don't, you know, again, when he, I've heard the story too. He just happened to see this mare just by pure chance on the sales ground. You know, I've talked to people who were actually there, and he wandered by when the mare was out and was absolutely struck by her physicality, had no idea who she was apparently staring at her, enamored, and he's not a guy that bids on broodmares, and went ahead and bought this horse. Now, she's got a being a granddaughter of Storm Cat, she's got a lot of ways to go, Steve. There's so many stallions that do extremely well with the Storm Cat line. But, you know, I, off the top of my head, I noticed he also bought that Uncle Mo. Uncle Mo got Nyquist out of a forestry mare, Storm Cat line. Who knows? You know, he's a big fan of Into Mischief, but I doubt he'd go back to Into Mischief with the Storm Cat line mare, as Into Mischief is also a Storm Cat line stallion. But, you know, I just throw out right here, as you asked me, that, you know, Uncle Mo might be a great physical as well as pedigree match. You know, he's a big, strong horse, covers a lot of ground, very tall, and would kind of fit the snare, light-to-light type of physicality, as well as, you know, everything in the pedigree. And on top of that, it's this mare is out of a not for sale mare, not for sale by Parade Marshal. That's a Cairo line stallion, to get a little inbreeding to Cairo too, because Uncle Mo is a Cairo line horse. So I don't know. That's just something I'm just throwing to you without even having looked at anything, but just off the top of my head. But of course, there are plenty of options, and this mare could go to anybody at the top of the, you know, at the top of the pecking order. Tappet obviously is Tappet has a terrific cross with the Storm Cat, outstanding cross, and so he's another potential stallion as well. Different physique, but you know, he's a horse that works with mares that don't have particularly strong pedigrees, and hers, and she kind of fit that, you know, fairly light in terms of black type under the first three dams. You've got one, two, you know, just three stakes winners under the first three dams. So Tappet has done well with Storm Cat mares that have light pedigrees.
Yeah, there's an unusual, looking at the dam, you mentioned Blues for Sale, mm-hmm. and she's got an unusual common ancestor on the top and the bottom. The mare Bebop, 4x5. Bebop got she dropped Steppin' High, who was mm-hmm. the dam of Parade Marshal, the sire of mm-hmm. Not for Sale, and then in the female mm-hmm. family she got Bebopper, who was the dam of Stop the Music.
Yeah, and that's a big Green Tree stud family, and she herself, you know, Parade Marshal, I believe, was, of course, Parade Marshal was also a Green Tree horse who was exported. And so...
went to Argentina.
So that's where you have that inbreeding to, you know, that big mare. And Stop the Music, of course. The second dam is Bebop. Green Tree stud... you know, it's a lot, Hatchet Man was from his family. I think Stop the Music Half Brother. Big Green Tree stud family.
Well, I knew we would get sidetracked because that's our way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listen to Monday with Todd Pletcher, but I could not help but bring up with him his influence on the results on Saturday. Said it was striking, actually, how many stallions he was involved in here. Through Palace Malice, getting Structure, sharing Spitestown, More Than Ready, Uni. It was all over the place. And you know, for him to get his first, and of course, Vino Rosso and the Gunthers, even though it's just John on the line as breeder of Vino Rosso, obviously Tanya, you know, heavily involved. In fact, you look at some of the familiar names, and there's always some obscurities, but George Strawbridge with Bricks and Mortar, and Gunther, obviously Sagamore, technically, and you know, the first winner of a Breeders' Cup race by and out of Breeders' Cup winners in Spitestown and shared a count. The Sextons, how about, and they were, Mrs., I think it was Mrs. Sexton, was just so, she was so shaken up when British Idiom won the Juvenile Fillies, and I heard someone say, oh, congratulations. She says, well, I'm just the breeder. But it just shows you how many people are touched by, you know, by these, you know, by these results.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just, you know. It pretty much, Steve, it was one of these Breeders' Cup, days where, you know, everything that I thought, would happen went right out the window. Okay. I mean, it was just, and you can boil it down to, which I mentioned on your show, sharing by Spitestown. Spitestown had never had, through many crops, through over 1,000 foals, he'd never had a Grade One winning 2-year-old.
I know,
and he got
one. Great,
you know. So, I mean, everything that I said, every exception, it was just like, okay, wrong, and you know, that's great because every rule is meant to be broken, and you know, it was. It was just one of those things that make you realize, you know, what a great puzzle this is in every element of this game, whether it's betting, breeding, predicting, you know, everything got thrown out the window for me personally this weekend. But I, you know, some of these results were terrific for the people involved. And you mentioned British Idiom, and the irony about that, I think I've mentioned this on the show, is she was part of a group of mares, a small group of mares that we'd actually, at the day job, recommended to Gary and Mary West to purchase for their stallions when they went to stud at Hillendale. She was part of that group that we recommended, that ended up producing, these group of mares ended up producing Maximum Security and British Idiom. But unfortunately for the West, they sold them both. And so it was that kind of thing. Even when you did something right, the end player didn't get the benefit out of it. But others did, and that's what this game is all about.
Some other beneficiaries, American Pharoah with the first and third.
Fantastic.
Right,
yeah,
that was
fantastic.
Big.
Yeah, really fantastic. And, you know, it's something, and that's another thing, Steve, where I think people could have been skeptical about American Pharoah as a turf sire, because that unbridled line has really not been big in Europe. But one of the things that Coolmore wanted when they went after this horse, and MV Magnier, John Magnier's son, stated, was that, you know, we think this horse will be really good on turf. And they gave him a lot of help with turf mares, and this horse has been phenomenal on turf. And it's just so appropriate that he ends up getting a Breeders' Cup winner on turf and at a sprint, no less, you know. So it just shows you the possibilities in this game, you know. That's as amazing to me as, say, a flashback getting a Breeders' Cup winner or a court vision, you know. It's what makes this game accessible to everybody across the spectrum.
And also, when you consider, you know, when you consider the prices and you know what, you know how accessible these horses can be, that part of it. You know, that part of it, from a 40, and by the way, you know, we're focusing on winners. There's influence and success involved here, you know, throughout the charts. You know, the horses that were in the money, particularly in the filly and mare races, where, you know, even any black type is going to be valuable. To the mare going forward, or young horse. I mean, that conversation I had with Aaron yesterday, Aaron Wellman, and you know, just how they even, you know, bought into sharing, cognizant that it felt like they were getting a bargain at $300,000, at $350,000, and Aaron saying that, you know, he knew that even if she underperformed on the racetrack, with that pedigree, she would have residual value. And, you know, that goes into it, obviously. And then it turns out whatever was holding people back, and $350,000 is real money, obviously. But you would have thought that a daughter of shared account by Spitestown would have fetched more, even, you know, in an early book. But anyway, it's amazing. I mean, how often, you know, we look and realize Vasilika goes through the ring yesterday and was a $40,000 claim. And she, you know, she goes on to earn what she did and fetch $1.5 million yesterday.
Yeah, that's really something. That's a great point, you know, and it's purchased by the Japanese Katsumi Yoshida, I believe, purchased her, and they are huge fans of American raced horses, and they're not even that concerned sometimes about the depth of pedigree, Steve, and you know, you take a look at, you know, a horse like Yoshida, which they bred and which Windstar and SF Bloodstock purchased as a yearling for like $700,000-$800,000 in Japan, brought here, became a grade one winner here. And, you know, that mare, Hilda's Passion, didn't have a strong pedigree when she was sold, but she was a grade one winner. And they breed it to their stallions there, and it just shows you the value that they have in American bloodstock. You know, it's terrific. So, no question that they're going to keep coming back here to buy mares, even mares that don't have the depth of pedigree, as long as they have their racetrack performance.
As we always seem to say at this time of year, the world's not interested in our bloodstock, except that they are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's exactly. I mean, you keep saying it all the time, and it's absolutely true. I mean, look at the number of international buyers that, you know, were among the leading buyers yesterday. I mean, they come here for these mares. And, you know, they don't seem to be put off if they race on Lasix or not either, I might add. They understand that the performance here is one of the big attractions to them. And it's not just the Japanese. I mean, you just look through that list and you get, you know, a really good cross section of international buyers. David Redvers, for example, who is Sheikh Fahd's main agent, he was involved in several, including HIP 177, separation of powers at Candy Ride, Philly, that was listed as sold to Hunter Valley for $2.1 million. Adrian Reagan of Hunter Valley told me that, yeah, that was David Redvers, primarily in a partnership for Sheikh Fahd. Hunter Valley has stayed in for a little bit of it, maybe another partner or so, but, you know, it's an international partnership. You know, it's this bloodstock here, Steve, people want it.
The international portion, and you know, at times when we sense that the Breeders' Cup, in particular, is catering to international interests. For instance, you know, there was some complaints after the ranking, the committee, put together the decisions. For you know who was getting into races and who was not selected into the body of the race and had to either sweat it out to get in or didn't get in, certainly when it came to that juvenile turf sprint, the exclusion of Miss J. McKay was really irksome, frankly, but when you see the results and you get a chance to watch the sets of connections, the Koreans, and yes, a blue chipper is a, uh-huh. they don't have to be bred in that region, but
right.
The Korean, the glee and the excitement associated with blue chippers' presence in the cup was really remarkable. And you know, the Koreans, the ones that we're actually really allies with in America, that we've worked with for decades on end, the South Koreans, they love our game, and they've built an industry themselves modeled after the American racing, and they were just beside themselves. And blue chippers third and a game third. I mean, he ran and he didn't quit when he could have dropped anchor. That was something. There were the two Japanese runners that were just so, the Japanese are pretty wild eyed as well. And then as I said to Nacho, Sid, the group of South American horsemen and media that mobbed him afterward was so sweet, and just, I mean, the effusive happiness for him by the South American press, it was really amazing.
It is, and he's I mentioned this on Twitter, but for people who didn't follow me, I'll note this about him too. I mean, Ignacio Correa is first off, one of the nicest guys you're going to meet. In fact, when I was hanging out with you last year at Churchill Downs, that's the area where Nacho watched the race with us, if you recall. You know, he came and hung out with us. Well, but anyway, he comes, and a lot of people don't know this, but he comes from a really long-standing background in Argentina. He's Ignacio Correa's the fourth.
Yep.
I last saw him before. I saw him in 2017 in Keeneland, but before that, Steve, the last time I'd seen him was in the mid 90s in Argentina at his father's farm, Haras Las Ortigas, which was a very famous stud farm. And, he just walked up to me. We hadn't seen each other in 25, 30 years. And recognize each other and started speaking right away. But the main thing about him is that he'd grown up in this kind of aristocratic background, quote-unquote aristocratic. I mean, it's the well-known stud farm that had been established in the 1870s. One of the, either it's grandfather or great-grandfather, imported Diamond Jubilee, the British Triple Crown winner, to stand there, who became a big influence in Argentina. That's the kind of background that Las Ortigas had. But once the political situation in Argentina became kind of dangerous, he left all that, came here, and tried to build up his career from the bottom up. And he's finally come to this kind of level and winning his Breeders' Cup, a man of great humility, and no wonder that he got this type of reception, because he's that type of person. And for the people in South America who know about his background, it was quite a story to see a guy who'd been at a big operation like Las Ortigas and then had to leave, come to this country, go to the bottom, build his way back up. And by the way, he was at Sagamore for a while before he got fired from there. And, kept clawing his way up and now brings a South American mare to the ultimate venue. And then the day after that, 2 days after that, she gets sold for $5 million. So it was, it's been a remarkable story for him.
The other one, too, in addition to the Koreans, the Japanese, South America, the Joseph O'Brien win with Iridesa Sid, and the onslaught of the lads. lads were coming out of the woodwork, and everybody calling you, Joseph, and somebody turned up with an Irish flag, and
I saw that on TV. That was great.
It really was. And it's funny, I've got a wonderful picture. I was just sort of standing at the corner of the of that dais where they take the picture, and Aidan O'Brien had gotten a call from John Magner, and he had moved out of the crowd and was standing just to my left within that stanchion, and then called to one of his people and said, get Joseph. And so Joseph came over and was reaching for the phone, and Aidan said, it's John. and he was wanting to it was really cool. I mean, I thought it was incredibly neat to just sort of be kind of eavesdropping there. And I got a very good picture of it, actually, that I think I put up on Facebook. I'll put that up on Twitter. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great story in a lot of ways. One is, of course, as you and Pete were talking about, the age of Joseph, and what he's accomplished so far in such a short time, both as a rider and as a trainer. Obviously, has already trained an Irish Derby winner, a Melbourne Cup winner, but more importantly than even that, there's a couple of interesting stories behind him and his family. One is, of course, an incredibly well-composed, humble guy, very modest, comes from obviously a great family, well-raised. Besides his talent, seems like just an incredibly poised young man.
Very much.
But taking it even further, as you merge his pedigree with the pedigree of the filly that won, a couple of things come into play. And one is the breeder, Whisper View Trading Limited, that's his family's entity. So the family bred this filly. And if you look at her pedigree, Steve, it's very light. The Dam is a Danehill mare that's unraced. The only black type winner in four dams, the only black type winner was the second dam, Starine, okay? So this is an incredibly light pedigree, but what do? They've sent the unraised dam by Dane Hill to Ruler of the World, and this is from his first crop, the Ruler of the World. Obviously, an Epsom Derby winner. They had a season to him, and they sent a mare by Dane Hill to Ruler of the World. Well, Ruler of the World is by Galileo. And what was obviously playing here was the cross of Galileo with Dane Hill, because there's a pedigree that you could say otherwise to say what else is there in this pedigree to help. Well, this cross, Galileo-Dane Hill, which is a phenomenal cross everybody knows about, produces horse, Iridessa, and she was a Group 1 winner at 2. She was a Group 1 winner this year at 3. And so there's a lot in this family. Sire, Dam, the family, the O'Briens, that all kind of meshed here and led to this thing. And that's a great story, standalone, you know, about two families and two families of equine and human mashing up to be behind this filly.
I'm glad you expanded, because I didn't. That's one. That was one pedigree. I didn't really, you know, poke around and look at what was going on behind. Just a couple more minutes, Sid, and obviously we'll do more sales stuff next week after Keeneland's wrapped up and all the dust settles on the purchases. But there's plenty of firepower today at Keeneland. There was one weanling storyline that kind of caught my eye yesterday, and I don't
What's
know if
that?
Mastery.
Give me the storyline, because I'm not there, but I know that he's going to be a very hot stallion.
That's my suggestion. Is that without fanfare, here was Larry Best paid 3.25 for that Hip 47. South Point offered, and that was a colt. And then there was also another colt earlier. Stonehaven paid $240 for one that Gainsway consigned. There were a couple of outs, but it just sort of, I was just sort of taken aback as I was looking through the weanling first croppers, and we know Gunrunner and Arrogate are going to get the headlines, but that jumped off the page at me.
And it's, to me, actually, I kind of expected this, because this horse stands at Claiborne. He only stood for 25,000, but the kind of support he got was just incredible. It's the kind of stuff that, Bernie Sams at Claiborne, whenever you get a stallion like this at Claiborne and he's 25, whatever the stud fee, if you're fortunate enough to get in and you can bring the right type of mare, you're going to get paid at the sales. That's something I've mentioned to you repeatedly on this show through the years, and Mastery is going to be the next example of that. And we saw that with Run Happy. We've seen it with in recent years with Orb, when they first got to the sales. Inevitably it happens.
Interesting. I'm looking at numbers and names, and I said, wow, look at this.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on it today. Plenty of weanlings today. And then there's also that interesting, but at the same time, kind of, I don't know, when the baby and the dam, when they sell together, are next to each other, it I don't know, it always kind of
they're not selling together. They won't be selling with them next to each other now, since they'd be weaned. So maybe they're selling, you mean, a separate
consecutively,
hip?
Yeah.
There's
a bunch of those today. And they do that because it
allows the potential buyer to see what the foal looks like, too. So
right.
It's a great ploy. If you've got a great-looking foal, you run that foal through either before or right after the dam, so you get a preview of what that mare is able to produce. Now, you're trying to sell a mare, and you want to keep the, and if you got a bad foal, you keep the foal at home. Don't show them what the foal looks like and put the mare in, you know. But usually when they got the foal in there, it's a great advertisement because it's going to be a great-looking foal.
Well, and finally, one thing I haven't mentioned yet about last night, it's not unusual for a sale to conclude and a round of applause. Well, the applause last night was for the final moment of Terrence Collier's just long-standing career at Fizzig. And I had to be very emotional for him and for Boyd Browning and everybody that's, you know, worked there for any period of time, and for everybody who, you know, who's bought a horse at Fizzig that, you know, had Terrence up there on the dais, a special presence and character that
it really is. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I wasn't even aware of it until I saw it on Twitter. I think Grant Williamson had tweeted it. So I sent yesterday, 11:39 p.m. I haven't received a response yet, but I said to Terrence, this is my email I sent to him, Terrence, I heard it was your last sale. Congrats on a fabulous career. I suspect you'll get to hit the road on the bike a little more. Be well, Sid. He's an avid rider, so I'm sure he'll be scorching the highways now that he's done here.
Well, we'll reach out. It's always been fun to have Terrence on the show, and we'll get him to reflect on his long career. Well, Sid, I appreciate it. We'll be watching the action at Keeneland, and
absolutely, yeah.
We'll
check
talk
in next week.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
Sid all right, Fernando, thanks a lot, Steve.
Not at all. Thank you, Sid Fernando. Everybody, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale, and you can work with Sid now that Breeders' Cup is over. These brood mares are going to get distributed here, redistributed out into the world. Time for everybody to start knuckling down and making your decisions, if you haven't already. Work Thoroughbred Consultants, 510-490-1111. Get your broodmare compatibility analysis, and Sid will talk to you about decisions. Maybe you've got some new mares that are entering your band. Top of hour three, take a break, probably last one of the morning. We'll come back. We've got Bill Downs, Johnny D, and Graham Motion in the next 60 minutes. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I thought I saw a girl brought to life. She was warm, she came around, and she was dignified. She showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that girl I adored. Don't seem to know, seem to care what your heart is for. But I don't know her anymore. There's nothing where she used to lie. The conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This
we're back
is
at the races. 5 minutes into hour three. And we're a little torn, too, because it's the end of the season at Indiana Grand. It's been a good season, good summer and fall. And for Bill Downs, it's always